Welcome to the women's meeting. My name is Lizzie, and I am a compulsive overeater, and your speaker for this meeting. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off or put into silent mode. Thank you. You guys can hear me okay, right? Okay. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps? Great. Let me find them. Oh, they're here.
My name's Kimmy. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Kimmy.
Hi. Okay, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Kimmy. All right. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by questions or open sharing. All right. Again, the topic for this session is women's. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope. Someone available to time? Thank you. Can I just have 5, 5, 5? Okay. All right. I'm Lizzie, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm grateful. Usually, you know, at the beginning of a share, you thank the person who asked you, and David is not here. So thanks, David G., for asking me to lead. I took my glasses off because I want you to be able to see me, but I can't see you because I'm nearsighted. But I think the thing that I want to start with is that the thing that has made me have what I have today is transparency and honesty, even when it's ugly. And that's the thing that my sponsor gives me, and that's the thing that I try to transmit to my sponsees as well, the permission to be totally honest, no matter what it is, and not be judged for it. I'll just start with the numbers to get the numbers out of the way. So I'm a relapse survivor, and my first top weight when I first came into OA when I was 21 years old, 17 years ago, was 212 pounds, 5'7". And eventually I got abstinent. This is just the quick version, and then I'll get into the more details. I got abstinent eventually, but when I relapsed, I gained all that and more back, and then my top weight in relapse was 250 pounds, and today I weigh 170, and I'm 38 years old. So I still have a little bit more to let go of to be back at the weight that I was at for 5.5 years when I was in program before relapse, and it's in God's time. I'm not attached to when that happens or how that happens, because I've been able to let go of these 80 pounds without dieting, which is a thing, it's a miracle. Okay, so what it was like, I grew up, my mom and stepdad met in AA when I was 5 years old. So I grew, my mom was already in AA. She was not an alcoholic. She was a diet pill addict, but she didn't fit in OA. I don't know what story she tells herself about that. And she didn't like NA, so she just hung out and like hid out in AA meetings. She was not an alcoholic. But they met there. So I was raised in a sober home until my grandpa died and my stepdad went out and never stopped drinking again. And that was when I was like in elementary school. So it was very like stark contrast. And there was a lot of abuse in my household, specifically directed at me by my stepbrother. This is a women's meeting. I know we're being recorded, but I'll just say there was like a lot of like sexual trauma for several years. And some people are born compulsive overeaters. I don't have any memories of food being interesting at all until the abuse started. And then I just started packing on the weight because thank God my parents were in AA at the time, because if there had been booze in the house or heroin in the house, I would have done it. Instead, there were cookies and burritos in the deep freezer, and I just found that as my coping. And thank God, I'm very grateful for the food. And I found a way to live from the chin up. I didn't really feel what it was like to be in my body. And I know a lot of kids these days have young girls have a lot of body image issues and stuff like that. And I have a lot of compassion for that. And I was so disconnected from my body that I didn't even know I was, you know, like a size 16 in a cheer skirt in a varsity cheerleader, like doing high kicks in front of the crowd. Like it was fine, you know, I was a varsity cheerleader. And I didn't know that I was fat until I did. I mean, I averaged around 190 to 200 in high school. So about 50 pounds overweight. So I started compulsive dieting when I was 19 years old. I started training vocally and wanted to be a famous singer. And my voice coach said to me, I could get you a record deal if you are this big around. And he held up his pinky finger. And I was like, that is a great idea. I want to be as big around as your pinky finger. What does that even mean? And so I started compulsive dieting. And I was, you know, I'd always worked and had jobs and stuff. So I thought I just sunk every paycheck, every credit card I could extend to the commercial diets, you know, and illegal drugs, legal and illegal drugs. I tried everything to get the weight off, and compulsive exercise, restriction, like all methods to, and it always worked for a little while. Thank you. When it stopped working, I would give up and put the weight back on, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't, aware of what was going on until I started really dating. And when I started really dating, I was like, oh God, I feel uncomfortable, you know, and accelerated the body dysmorphia. And I started hitting myself in places that you wouldn't be able to see with clothes on, but I just hated my body and I hated who I was. My friends and I, when I was 21 years old, my friends and I did our own version of The Biggest Loser, and I was convinced I was going to win because I knew how to let weight go. I mean, at this point, I had already burned all the cartilage out of my knees. I mean, I was a compulsive overeater since I was 7, but I wasn't in the obsession of dieting until I was like 19. I did a lot of damage in those couple of years, and when I was 21, we started our version of The Biggest Loser, and I by the day 3 I had the shakes, like a alcoholic detoxing or like a, you know, drug addict detoxing. I remember sitting this moment. I was sitting on my mom's couch and I was rocking back and forth, and I was like, my body was in some physiological response that I had no control over, and I was like, blown out by it. And my mom was like, I think you need to go to Overeaters Anonymous. And I was like, okay. My sister had already been like dropping into those meetings at the time. And my sister's also in program. So, fast forward, because I think this is an important part. I did eventually get abstinent after a couple of years of hanging out in OA, and I was abstinent for 5 years. And then I also got married in program. And of course, I married an alcoholic because that's what I was raised in. That was what was familiar. I remember this is a distinct moment. I was sitting in the car, first date with my now ex-husband, and he was like rubbing his head, and he had some scabs on his head. I was like, what is wrong? He's like, oh, I got beat up in the alley behind the bar last week and woke up in the hospital. And I remember thinking, I know how to handle that. Like, that's familiar to me. And the way that I handled it for, you know, before I got abstinent was food. And then when I got abstinent, I had to really dig in. And my first sponsor, the one that I worked with for those first 5 years, was so gracious with walking me through the steps, and so many things got healed. Like the body dysmorphia just somehow vanished through working the steps. It's like I waxed over here and it got shiny over there. And I lived in serenity around food for the most part in those 5 years. Anyway, I let go of my abstinence when my marriage was rocky, and I was in relapse for 7 years. And in those 7 years, I gained 100 pounds, so I was up to 250. And again, like, the way I had to function was just sort of disconnected from that truth. Like, I knew I was heavier, but I wasn't having sex. I was married. I was not having sex with my husband, and was doing a lot of CrossFit, all sorts of like coping things, really just out of touch with what was happening in my heart and in my body. And then at some point, I started working with, I was dropping into meetings, and I couldn't get it. And I would try, and I couldn't, and I'd leave for a couple months and come back and try again. And I just wasn't out of old ideas. And then my marriage broke apart. I woke up one day. I had been asking the question, like, when will I know that it's supposed to be over? And I asked that question every day. And then there was like a final thing that happened. And I woke up one morning and I knew. It was just like, in hindsight, it was, you know, God gave me the gift of clarity in that moment, because I was in so much vagueness before that. And I was living in Hawaii at the time. I left Hawaii and came back to Los Angeles and made my life even messier. It was really great. The things I did running from my feelings, my grief, were unbelievable. So anyway, I... the next five. So what happened to get me out of relapse? I was with my best friend in Central Europe in summer of 2016. I had not been able to get abstinent of any kind. And she and I were prepping for a train ride from Munich to, I think, Vienna. And we, you know, bought all the things in the train station, all of the drugs, all of the food drugs. And I remember, like, I'm sitting in this train ride, and I just had, like, the spread. It wasn't a binge, let me tell you. It was, like, a sampling. I had some self-awareness around it. I was like, this is probably not a good idea. But I was doing it anyway. And I had, you know, just like a little bit of everything. And I started to get that like sinking feeling like, oh, this is going to have to stop. And as soon as we got to Vienna, she and I were just goofing around and we were taking photos of each other, like against like the beautiful scenery. And I was like approving the photos or not approving them, you know. And I looked at and I was like, who is that? And it was me. you know, and I woke up to like the reality of the situation again. I was like, oh my God, I have no pants that fit. I was wearing, you know, like Costco dresses with bike shorts underneath because of like the chafing. In the middle of summer in Eastern Europe, there is no air conditioning. It was I suddenly went from sleepy to wakeful around this and was like, oh shit, I really have to do something about this. So I made a decision then to go back to OA and do whatever it took. And even that moment wasn't enough for me to get abstinent. Because, you know, I say this to my sponsees sometimes. Like, I can be willing all I want, and then there's the final push is God. Like, you can wake up willing every single day, but to be abstinent specifically. And if you get abstinent, that's God. Because on my own will, you know, I want to be an astronaut. There's a lot of things that I don't really want to be an astronaut. There's a lot of things that I want that whether or not I get them, I'm really clear, is like a divine thing. So anyway, I came back to OA. I came back to the States in September. I started coming back to meetings and trying, you know, not totally out of old ideas, but trying to get abstinent. And in January, I was like, okay, I know the solution to this is the we part of the program. Been around long enough. I said, I'm just going to go down the sign-in sheet at this meeting, and the first person that puts a Y next to sponsor, I'm just going to call her. You know, I wanted it to be a woman. And I called her right after the meeting, and it was the one person who's, by the way, the chair of this birthday party. The one person I was like, oh, really, her, you know, because I was very confronted by her program. She works a really solid program, and there's a lot of work to do to maintain her, but she has what I want. And I called her, and she said, great, I'm willing to work with you, but I don't sponsor women who eat sugar. And somehow, like, the skies opened up, and I was like, okay, I'm willing to put down sugar. And that was January 23rd, 2017. And so next week, not God willing, me willing, if I'm willing, I can stay abstinent until, you know, Thursday will be 3 years of out of relapse and down this weight. Inside this abstinence, I have also let go of wheat flour, and the problem has been removed. Because if it's not a problem, it's not an option. You know, I can be way screwed up, you know, emotionally or whatever, walk into Starbucks and get a cup of coffee, walk right by the pastry counter, and it's like, might as well be plastic, because it's not an option. And it's not something that I have done. It's just, it has been gifted to me. And I have total neutrality around food these days. And that is a gift of working the 12 steps. So one little story about the wheat flour thing, and this is just one more time, like a God shot. I was babysitting my sister's kids and feeding them macaroni and cheese. I could have pasta at this time. You know how we do, a bite for you, a bite for me. Pasta specifically. This is how I was feeding the kids. And as soon as I put that first bite of macaroni in my mouth, the Kraken woke up in me. That's 15. I'll wrap up with this. I got so scared at that feeling of, because I had not experienced the disease at where's make all of the pasta. And I was like, I am not willing to do one more bite of this stuff. I'm not willing to have an experience where my serenity is hijacked because of a food group. And I called my sponsor and I told her, and I put wheat flour on my abstinence because it's not worth it to me today. And there's so much more I can say to that, but I'm very grateful Overeaters Anonymous saved my life. And thanks for letting me share. Cool. All right. Meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This session will end at 9:55 a.m. We have plenty of time. If everyone wants to share, you can. Who would like to start? All of you at once? Oh my gosh, how am I going to pick? Okay. I'm gonna. Great, because I was about to call somebody out.
Hi, I'm Lolo, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Wow, this feels really loud with my hearing aids on. I am. Do you qualify first? So I'm down about just 40 pounds, and I will have my 1 year chip on February 2nd.
Yeah.
So happy. I have an amazing sponsor, my dear sponsor, Christine, over there, who is helping me guide me through this process. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat things that are real processed. I think after being on every diet in the world, my abstinence truly comes from I would go on a diet and I would lose the weight, and then I'd go off the diet and I'd gain the weight back. I could personally be a nutritionist. If anybody needs anything nutritional value, I know it. And I believe my abstinence comes from the, I don't know, it's like a healthy fear. It's definitely God-given. I never, ever want to go back. I finally feel beautiful. I could cry. I finally feel free. It's not even about the weight anymore. It's truly my mindset and just being able, I read the other day that food's not going to fix my family. You know, food isn't going to fix my job or my relationships, and or food doesn't fix my kids, I thought for a long time. So the macaroni and cheese thing, here, let me fix us together. So I'm really grateful today. It's my first OA kind of birthday party. What I don't know the difference between the conventions and the birthday party, but I'm so glad to be here. This is my tribe. I love smiling at everybody. Everybody smiles back. It's like, you get me, and I appreciate that. So thanks for letting me share.
Who's next?
Thank you. I'm Terry, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. So I've been in the program since 1986. I live in Texas. I didn't have... Okay, a little closer. So I'm Terry, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I live in Texas. I've been in the program since 1986. I didn't have a lot of weight to lose, but I identified when I went to my first meeting, and I never left. So I guess when... You were speaking about shaking one night. I'm remembering that I was in Colorado, and I had eaten early in the, maybe 4 o'clock or 5, and it was cold that night, and I didn't eat anything before going to bed, so I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was shaking. And my husband said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, I'm cold." You know, I didn't know, and so got more blankets, and that didn't do, that wasn't what it was. I'm borderline hypoglycemic, so I was shaking because my blood sugar was low, and I didn't know that. And so he knew, though, because he's a scientist, and he said he had done some experiments on some rabbits or something, and I guess they could transfer that experiment to humans. So he went and got me, I can't remember if it was milk or orange juice or something. And so that was a wake-up call that, you know, blood sugar. I knew I was borderline hypoglycemic because a nutritionist had asked for my blood work when I first went to see her because I didn't know that I was. And, of course, the more sugar or the caffeine, things that I would eat would trigger the hypoglycemia. And I didn't know the caffeine was doing it also. And she explained to me, a dietitian, that the caffeine could trigger hunger because of the insulin, the pancreas, and things like that. So I was willing to get off caffeine. When the doctor told me to get off caffeine for my fibrocystic breast disease, I was rebellious, 10-year-old, and saying, no, 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 you know, so I wasn't willing. But somebody in OA said, well, why don't you put boundaries on your caffeine? So I thought, oh, okay, yeah, I'll be in control. I could call her and I'd say I'm going to have 10 caffeines today or 20. You know, I thought it was the issue of control and anger. So that worked until I was ready to get off caffeine. So I thought it was a wonderful idea, put boundaries on whatever diets, people who are trying to get off Diet Cokes or whatever it is that we're trying to, those foods. So the other thing I was thinking is I used to always eat in secret, and I came in here and I sat up here because there was a lady sitting there and she was eating her breakfast, and I have my protein bar, and I thought, well, I can eat in, you know, because otherwise I'd go be eating in the bathroom or in secret. But thank God today I got to eat my protein bar, and hopefully I didn't disturb too many people with my wrapper.
Thanks, Terry. Did I see a hand over on this side? No? No? Christy!
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I'm from San Diego. And last year I was here at the birthday party and I met Lizzie. And she was moderating a group on what was it called? Speed dating for a sponsor. I'm like, how could anything speed dating? No. And Lizzie was not putting herself out there as a sponsor. She's my sponsor today since that day, you know, last year. And it's been a beautiful journey. I came in OA the first time in 93, and they told me, eat three meals, nothing in between. And the very first day, I sat in that meeting, and I'm like, okay, I can do that. And stuck around for 10 years, got to my goal weight. I was blessed with having a very significant experience with sugar. Back like 35 years ago, and 32, whatever, I don't even keep track anymore. But God removed that obsession from me back then. And so even though, you know, at all my weights, you know, 135 to 298, you know, the sugar never came back since that time. And I believe that was a spiritual experience for me. I had touched the flame. I knew that that, like, went to a dark place. I'm the 600, you know, pound woman inside. So I'm just really grateful for this program. I'm really grateful for, like, I grew up, she and I have the same story, you know, and I just really feel like it's a God deal. This is just a God deal and a willingness and to take direction, most importantly. And I one of my Lolo, who just spoke as my sponsee, and she brought these really beautiful little temporary tattoos, and I'm putting it on like I'm not a really tattoo girl, but I at this one it says let go, let God, and I know that's the last part, you know, like still fearful, you know, that place, like I've been running the show, I've taken care of me, you know, my story's like raised by wolves kind of person, and you know, to, you know, the alcoholic parent and the other one running after him. And so, like, I've been on my own. So, like, there's this little part still. It's like, I just really need to let go. Let God take me home, you know, take me back to that goal weight. Because I've been back. And another reason, I don't know if you remember this, but my abstinence date is 123 as well. So we have the same birthdays. And when I came back, I had a relapse, and so when I came back, I think it's 68 pounds I'm down from when my relapse, you know, but I have, like, a lot more, right? So during that relapse, like, 100, over 100. And so that's where I'm at today. I'm just really grateful to be in these rooms, and I know this is where the answer is, because it's worked before, and but it takes a lot of work, and I'm just really grateful for the direction that I get from Lizzie, and I'm really grateful all of you are here, too. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Erica, recovering compulsive eater. This is really loud. It's so strange. I just noticed myself sitting there thinking, okay, what do I want to share? And, like, trying... And having this feeling like, well, when I work out exactly what I want to say, then I can share. And that is so indicative of where I am on my journey at the moment. You know, I'm just really, like, really working on letting go and, you know, living my life on God's time rather than my own time. So I'm very grateful to be here with all of you. Thank you so much for your share, Lizzie. I identified with a lot of it. The body dysmorphia, although it was the opposite for me. I mean, when I was growing up, I was like this size, but I was fat. I was always fat. And I didn't even, I didn't appreciate my body. I hated my body all from the time right before I hit puberty, you know, all the way until I got into OA. I was finally able to start looking at my body and appreciating it and using food as a way to nourish my body rather than as a punishment. And so I'm constantly having to work on that. And for me, I actually lost quite a bit of weight before I came to OA. I looked at myself one day and I was 278 pounds. And I was like, this has got to stop because it's only downhill from here. You know, I'm only going to get older. It's only going to get harder and harder to move. And so I started to lose the weight. And then once I'd lost about 100 pounds, I realized I am really crazy. And that was a hard realization for me because I had already been through 10 years of therapy. And I was still so crazy, and not in every area of my life. There were areas of my life that were great, that were really working well. But when it came to food and my body image, it was just, it was still really crazy. And I grew up around 12 steps, so I knew about OA, and I was, but I've been so resistant over the years to go. I think I was still like a rebellious kid, you know, because when I was a kid, my mom was always like, you have to go to Al-Anon. And I was like, I don't want to go to Al-Anon. You're the one with the problem. but when I finally came to OA, one of the things that was so wonderful for me is I was like, this is fully my program. You know, in some ways, Al-Anon still feels a little bit like about my mom's problem. You know, or my ex-husband's problem, or which all became my problems, of course. but this program is fully mine. This is about me and my recovery. So I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Plenty more time. Okay. Yeah. Do your thing, girl.
For some people here.
Who else? Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Andrea.
Yeah. Man, that is, it's all because of the 11th step, I think, today. Because, you know, the 11th step, prayer and meditation, is a thing that, I mean, there's a lot of scientific research now about why, what meditation does for the brain. And, you know, Bill and Dr. Bob, they didn't necessarily, know the science behind it, but they did know that it changed, it could change you. And the thing, it's like 86, I think, page 86 in the big book, where it says, like, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask God for the right thought or action. I think the thing that occurred for me was developing a meditation practice, getting enough self-awareness to notice the thoughts, because there was a time before I started working a program. This was the first abstinence, when the thoughts were so enmeshed with, I don't know, the thoughts were just so like tangled inside of me that I'd had no separation from them. I thought that was me. And then as I sat on the meditation cushion enough to just have some breath between them, like, oh, that thought is going across the ticker. Like a cloud in the sky, like maybe I could just let that one pass. And I started to have enough separation. I could pause when I was agitated or pause when I had a negative thought about my body. And I don't know like the magic of it or the mechanics of it, but I do know that and now I have to work the 11th step even more rigorously, because there's, you know, deeper and deeper things getting revealed about my thought life that are so much more subtle that I don't want to cripple me anymore. And so, you know, in the beginning it was, you are such a piece of shit. You don't deserve to leave the house. Like, you look at your thighs, like all awful, awful things. And now it's like much subtler, but I have the experience of just enough breath between me and the thought to where I can go, oh, maybe I don't have to believe that one. And enough times where I can just like let that thought pass and I go, oh, maybe I don't have to believe that one either. And so if I can let the negative one, if I basically have enough agency now because of the 11th step to decide which thoughts I want to ruminate on. And if I can choose, okay, I'm not going to like obsess over those. I am more diligent now about putting ones in, like, man, I'm a good person. I'm, you know, I feel good today. Even if it's not true, just like inserting positive ones, because I'm the, and I will wrap up because I know you asked a question, I'm the only one who can stop myself from going down that rabbit hole. No one else can do it. So, and if I want to have a good day, like, I have to be at the helm of that ship. So I now am in the practice of putting in positive thoughts, affirmations, because of the 11th step. Thanks. Yeah. Who else wants to share or ask a question?
Hi, my name is Caroline. I came here with Lizzie. She, I don't know, I'm crying. I was like going through a hard time, and I just reached out to her, and she was like, come to this convention. So I've always known about Overeaters Anonymous, but I've never like come. I've known about program for a while now, and it feels really good to just, like, hear other people's stories and, like, kind of, like, resonate for the first time. And I just feel really grateful. And I've been like kind of going through a really hard time recently. And like listening to everyone's story kind of just makes me feel like remember some of the things that I've been going through that I don't like to think about. Like I don't like to think about. It's just like, I guess like everyone's like, just love yourself. And so then you just kind of like pretend, like you're just like, oh, I love that. But deep down, I don't think I like actually do. And so I went home for the holidays and I had this like really amazing time with my family. And the same topic came up of like eating. And we always have talked about eating my whole entire life, my whole family. And it's just like something that's very present. And we started this whole group around like losing weight and doing this stuff. And so then my mind was just kind of racing through like, what are all the different ways? And so I started working with this coach, and she's super healthy, and I think she's done OA, and she's really amazing. But I just stopped eating. I just completely stopped eating. And just like felt really sad that like that I was like so mad at myself. And so I just like felt like, oh, if I can't eat, then like how do I show myself love? And if I'm not eating, then what does that mean? And it's just been like a really hard like mental battle that I felt really alone inside of with my friends. And so it just has felt so good to like hear all of your stories and feel left alone. And I just feel really, really grateful. Thank you.
Yeah. Woo. You and then you.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Jacqueline. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I weighed 285 pounds for 40 years, and I, in and out of OA, I love that, a relapse survivor. Whew. I did in 91, lost 100 pounds and gained it back. I came back in 13 and lost 100 pounds. No, more than that. I lost 150 originally, so whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. It matters a lot. So what I was thinking just now, so I'm moving. moving. And honestly, since my early 20s, I've lived with a really butch woman who did all this stuff for me. And it's the first time I'm the opposite of I'm independent. I'm not. I'm a mommy's girl, and I like to be taken care of. So I was at Home Depot doing something all by myself. And because my relationship ended in this summer in program, thank God. So here's what I wanted to share. Maybe three things. You know the little, I forgot my name tag, but I have smarty pants on mine or something like that. I really do think I know everything, especially about food. My perception in this day and a half is that in LA people talk about specific foods, and I like that. I think it's stupid that there's a rule that you can't talk specific foods. Go to an AA meeting and we don't say, there was this white stuff in a bottle. It's so stupid to me. So I have an opinion about that. But, okay, and food has, you know, here's a story I want to tell. I was in Home Depot the other day and I got out of the car and my first thought was, what cookies, candy, cake, and Coke were in Home Depot that I could get to make that experience easier? And right behind that was the need not to do it. Wow. You know, and that's a God thing. Wow. And I was so grateful, and I stood there in Home Depot parking lot going, if this never happens again, but it keeps happening day by day, but just this moment to be relieved of the compulsion, you know, to slam 10,000 calories worth of sugar to make it through Home Depot. Holy moly, thank you.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jacqueline, compulsive eater. I came in 24 years ago, and I think I have 26 days today. So I haven't been here the whole time, obviously, but, you know, this abstinence, I feel, is different because firstly, I hear all of the shares and the pain and all of that, and I have such compassion for others, and I don't have that compassion for myself. And it is like I don't want to belong here, but I know that I sit here crying when I hear other people in pain, and I know that I do. That's my story. And, you know, I've spent the last, I've been in and out. I had 10 years in for program for 10 years, but I've controlled the whole thing. And what and this is different, and I'm not controlling because I have somebody who I'm working with who gets me and knows what I do and has known me for over a decade. And I think that when I've taken away and I've been graced by taking away the control how many calories is this? The dieting, what am I going to do? Am I going to do Lindora? Am I going to do this? And all of those thoughts have been removed and I don't know what to think about. And I feel like a 6-year-old because I don't know how to do anything. I don't, who's going to take care of me? Like I'm 44 and I have no idea how to live life without distraction, without trying to take care of others, without trying to make myself better, and without essentially being disconnected from my body and my heart. Having moments, because I've been also in AA since 20, having moments of connection, but when you have something that's just quieting the noise, just making you disconnected enough that you don't have to decide, what do I like? What do I want to do? Who am I? And waking up in your mid-40s and going, I don't have a fucking clue, is petrifying, and it makes me want to go back to the food because it's, well, and now I'm just binge-watching television, so we have to stop with that. But I hope that I can get enough space and continue with meditation to pause in between those thoughts and to insert thoughts of I'm worthy, I'm enough, versus just lay here because it doesn't matter anyway and you're never going to get anywhere. Da, 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 da. Like that's just exhausting and sad. And if I can have the compassion for everybody else to know that they're worth more, then I hope through the program I can have that for me. So thank you.
All right. It is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session for all of you who for attending. After a moment of silence, please let's join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer.